Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the last August edition of Rated G Radio for 2014. I am your host, Garrett Miller, and tonight we've got a super guest. Jason Nino is going to be on the show in just a couple of minutes to talk about his book of poetry, Journey of a Whispering Heart. And if you wouldn't know it, there are apparently several stages of a relationship, and he's going to talk about the poetry that he's written from each stage of it. But before we get to that, I want to give a big shout-out to all of the people that were part of the Borgnine Emmy pre-gifting suite event on Saturday. And I say with the Downies, but it's with Downies Desserts. Downies Desserts was one of the presenting vendors, sponsors of the event. And Ken and Angela were gracious enough to include me in the invitation to go help them spread the love of their Downies brownies and many of their other delectable delights. And I also served as their super guest photographer, so I took a bunch of pictures of the celebrities that were coming through. And, you know, it was really kind of interesting, and we're going to get to Jason in just a second, but for everybody who is always sending me notes on Facebook, oh, my gosh, this is really great, you know these people. I don't know these people, but they were there at this event, and they were very gracious and very kind. And several of them, I was able to get a picture with, so you see that on Facebook. I was really shocked at how wonderful and how gracious every single person was. So it apparently years of being in the public eye have really paid off from a how to be interested when you probably couldn't care less and how to, you know, be nice to everybody comes into play because they were all experts at it. There were a couple of people I really wanted to get pictures with selfishly just for my own, you know, hey, I had a picture with, you know, because if you have a chance sometimes we all kind of geek out a little bit. A couple of people I really wanted to have pictures with, and I did not get pictures with, and they were just kind of like busy and on their own thing. And I totally get it, totally respect it, but it still was kind of like, oh, shoot, it would have been cool if. But you'll see some familiar faces on there, and I think the one that everybody ended up talking about the other day was Lainey Kazan. And so she is just very, very, very special in the world of Hollywood, of course, star of My Big Fat Greek Wedding. But I also had the great delicious privilege to meet Yvette Nicole Brown and Lonnie Love. Lonnie Love, of course, you know, comedian, and she's on the Chelsea Lately show. Fantastic people like Greg Daniels of True Blood. So if you saw the True Blood finale last night, you'll remember him. So if you get a chance to go take a look at that, that's great. Hopefully all of your favorite people are winning their Emmys tonight, as we are probably about 2 hours into the Emmys broadcast already. I'm seeing all the posts on Facebook, so congratulations to all of the winners. So without further ado, though, let's get to our fantastic guest for tonight. That's Mr. Jason Nino. He's coming on to talk about his book called Journey of a Whispering Heart, Romantic Poetry for Lovers. Jason, welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you?
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for being
here
tonight.
Well,
so, I, you and I have not had a chance to really chat before tonight. And
right.
One of the things that I love to do when bringing a guest on for the first time is just kind of getting the your background, telling me about, you know, where you grew up, what family life was like, all of that fun stuff before we start talking about the real reason you're here is your book and making sure people are excited about it so they'll go buy the book either
exactly.
During the show or after the show. So tell me about yourself, Jason. What's your life like?
So I grew up in Southern California, like all over Southern California. I went to high school in Mission Viejo. I was like really into the music program there. I played in the marching band, the wind ensemble, the jazz band. I played in all the bands. It was like music is a big part of my life. For college, I went to the University of California, Riverside, majoring in creative writing, and I minored in ethnic studies. And for ethnic studies, I did because creative writing, I majored in it because of my love of poetry, my love of writing. And for ethnic studies, I did because of my love of different cultures, different people and whatnot. So, and I enjoy music, poetry, languages, which I speak three of, English, Spanish, and Arabic. And this helps
Wow.
me relate to different people. Yeah. And mostly I like to express myself through my emotions in writing, and this really has led me to write poetry, which really poetry is my outlet. So it's good.
I love that. So did you write music when you were playing in all the bands when you were in school in your younger
write
years?
Music. I would just play music.
You would just play music?
Read music. Yeah,
okay.
I could write music if I wanted to, but I really just read the music.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So how did you decide to take up the different languages? And the fact that you speak Arabic, I am fascinated with. What prompted that? Jason, out of all the guests I've ever had on the show, not a single one has spoken Arabic. And now you're my new favorite guest for tonight because this is very, very cool.
We are Christian Arabic.
Wow.
My family, we are Arabic, Christian Arabs, yeah.
That is awesome. So do other members of your family speak Arabic?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Everyone in my family does.
I love
my
that.
My sister and me and all my cousins are all first-born generations in the U.S.
Well, number one, congratulations, but two, that is
thank
impressive.
You. Really? Wow. That's
yeah, you learn something new every day. I never would have guessed in a million years. Okay.
That's great, yeah.
So are you able to, like, write in Arabic and everything?
I can only write my name, that's all. I can write my name. I cannot read anything.
Can't read anything. Okay.
I can't read anything.
Well, I guess that makes sense, you know, because I took Spanish back in maybe it was high school or something like that, but 100 years ago. And to this day, I can have really, really poor basic conversations, but I can read Spanish fairly well and kind of understand what most of it is.
Yeah.
Speaking-wise, I'm kind of like flip-flopped. I can't do the conversation part, but I can read it fairly okay. But
I love languages. I can speak Spanish, but on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably about a 6. But Spanish, write it, I can read it, you know, it's awesome.
So when did you decide that, I love writing poetry, or I like being creative like that? Because that takes real talent, and for you to be able to put all of these heartfelt emotions down on paper and put them into a book like Journey of a Whispering Heart, that is talent. So have you always written like stories or plays or poetry when you were younger, or when did this start for you?
Always. I started writing stories. Like in kindergarten, I wrote my first story. And then I started writing poetry in fifth grade, really. I've written always verses. Like I've been writing since I was maybe writing and reading since I was like 3. But my first poem, like my first real poem, was in fifth grade.
Do you remember what it was about?
It was the first poem I wrote in fifth grade was called The Lord's Love. I remember specifically. It was called The Lord's Love.
Oh, my God. Do you remember the poem?
I remember the poem word for word, yeah.
Would you share it with us tonight?
Of course, yeah. It started with, it said, "The sun that rises in the east, that shines so brightly clear, the Lord your God who made the sun has shown his love so dear. Every month and every year I'll wait, for the Lord will take me to the golden gates. And then the sun sets in the west and all light is gone. I will have no fear, for Jesus is here to save me from above."
Jason, that's pretty darned amazing, especially for the fifth grade.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Did you win an award or something like that for your work?
I didn't win an award, but I mean, like, it got acclaimed, like, all throughout the school. I went to the principal to talk about the story. It did get acclaimed, I remember that. Because I went to a private Christian school, so that kind of prompted the poem. That kind of, like, inspired it, because we would always learn about the Bible and Christianity. So that did inspire it.
That is very, very cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. That totally caught me off guard. Okay.
Yeah,
so
totally.
You have been, you know, kind of take me through the genesis of how the book came about. You'd been writing some poetry, and then what happened?
All right, so what I do is I write poetry. Like poetry, like I said before, poetry is my outlet. So I would through the stages of poetry, I would look at a guy, think he's attractive, think he's hot, and I'd write a poem about how attractive I think the guy is. Then I would be happy to be in a relationship with a guy. I would write a poem about that. Then I'd write a sexual poem about, like, you know, the sexuality of a relationship, the emotions, all the physical aspects of a relationship. And then of course, there's poems about the stages where there's conflict and whatnot. Then I write a poem about that. Then I write a poem when the relationship ends, called, you know, which is the stage called silence in the book.
And so when how did you get to a point where you had compiled enough material or poems in each of these categories to say, you know what, I think I'm going to put these in a book?
I've written poetry, like, since I was maybe, like, 10 years old, like, 9 years old. So, and I've, like, been in love so many times, so by the time the book came out, I had over 200 poems. So I had
really?
More than enough. Yeah, I had more than enough to compile the book. So it's just, I just went through, then I just got approached by a publisher who wanted to publish my work. I gave him samples. I gave the publisher samples of my poetry, and he asked me to publish a book with him. So I just thought about compiling, then I just thought about it, and I thought about having the stages of poetry, the stages of a relationship, and I just came up with the poems. I'm like, great, so we'll have the 5 stages of a relationship. I just thought about them. Then I thought about poetry to fit each stage, and that's what it was. I never did it purposely. It was all subconscious that each poetry fit the stages of the relationship.
That is quite impressive because, I mean, you have such a balanced approach to each of the categories here, and you would think that, you know, this is written from, like, you know, somebody like Ernest Hemingway on a fishing boat in the middle of the Atlantic.
Wow.
Or something like this.
Thank you.
Because you, boy, I'm impressed by the fact that you've categorized the topics. You've really put such an amount of heart and soul and passion into each of these. Would you be willing to maybe read, give me an example of something out of the first category of size? And
of course I would.
Have you read something there? And then tell us how the poem came to you and what was the inspiration behind that.
So I'll read you a section from one of the first poems I wrote. This poem I wrote in high school. It's called Contagious. And, like, I just, you know, I was in love with this guy, and I just was saying that his love was contagious. The guy's name was Jeff. But so the section of the poem goes, the section starts, I always want to feel your breath softly blowing in my ear. I always want to feel your arms gently around my waist. I want to hear your voice, your passion I can already taste. Infectious and contagious. If you don't look out, you can catch it too. Bask in this infectious disease called love, and let me show my heart to you.
So how did you feel when you wrote that?
This poem, writing this poem was really just powerful for me because I had so much emotion built up about this guy, Jeff, and I remember that I had all these feelings built up inside. So just writing them down, just letting them out on paper, or rather on the computer, and just, like, it was just letting a load out of my heart, just letting a load out of my body. So it made me feel much more relaxed. Like, it was so, like, relieving to finish writing the poem. It felt good to write it.
So how long ago was this particular poem written?
This poem was, oh my gosh, this was like 2000, I would say. So, oh my gosh, 14 years ago.
So it's been a day. Okay. Did he ever know that you wrote this for him, or was this something you just kept to yourself?
He never found out. More than half the people I wrote poems about never found out I wrote them about them. It's like, my poetry is really a secret. Because I really don't consider it like my poetry. I really consider it like a diary. And I
sure.
just... I the way I write my diary is in poetry form.
Sure. So if you're writing your diary in poetry form, has there ever been something that you've written that you really, really liked or really, really hated after you have it written?
I would say I really don't put it that way, one way or the other. It's like I write the poetry I like the poetry. Like, if there's been poems that I hate, yeah. It's like the poems, like when I'm angry about something, I hate the poem because I hate expressing said feelings about the person. Because I hate that I have this conflict to express about said individual, but I have to get it out. Because let's say I leave the emotion built up inside of me, it will tear me apart. So I have to express myself.
So. How long does it take you to write something like you've written here?
I would say...
You know, if you t- if you take a look at like the poem Contagious.
Yeah,
and given that was written, and I guess has your writing evolved, or do you find it easier to write now that you have so much experience behind you in writing this way, where you can just sit down and it just kind of like, okay, this is automatic, boom, 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 and it comes out, or do you?
No, not at all. Like Contagious itself took maybe about like half an hour to write because I had all the emotion built up inside of me. But usually now I would say poetry takes a lot longer to write because I have to think about how to express it, and I need to use imagery. It's not just writing. It's not just finding words that rhyme or finding a creative way to say it. At UC Riverside we learned like that poetry isn't just rhyming. Poetry is using imagery. Poetry is using like metaphors and whatnot. So having to use all those skills takes time. So writing poetry now takes me a lot longer, I would say.
Because you have to put a little more, I don't say thought into it because that's not the right word, because when it comes, but it's a little different. Hey, it looks like we might have a caller on the line. Would you like to take a call from the listener audience?
Of course, sure.
Okay, cool. 714, we've just unmuted your line. You're on the line live with Jason Nino. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm just listening and enjoying hearing Jason talk about how he develops his. And I just wanted to share that I've read Jason's book, and I've known Jason all my life. And
what's your name?
My name is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
And I've seen Jason go through ups and downs in his life. In reading his poetry, I've discovered that there's so much depth to his soul, so much more than I ever knew from him. His poetry is just raw and completely uncensored, and he describes so many feelings that other people can identify with. Sometimes I read passages, I can say, hey, I've been through that. I know that feeling. And he puts it into words and has so much imagery and description that it's like, you know, maybe it's an outlet for him to write it, but it's also an outlet to read it because, you know, you may not be able to express what you felt before, but when you read it, it finally is embodied in his poetry.
Well, Tanya, do you have, and I'm putting you on the spot here, so I apologize if you don't have an answer, but do you have a favorite poem out of his book that you really like, and maybe we could get Jason to read that for us tonight?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's not putting me on the spot at all. My favorite poem of Jason's is called Regular Feelings. It's from the section in his book called Screams, and the section Screams is all about frustration and pain, and the poem is called Regular Feelings, but there is nothing regular about the feelings he describes in this poem.
Jason, do you have, would you like to read that for Tanya tonight?
I could read it for sure.
Oh, very good. Tanya, thanks for your calls.
Sure.
Okay,
so the poem goes, you are the greenish, gluttonous slime, feeding on the parasitic toxic mucus, preying on the putrefying corpse covered with maggots and fleas. You are a maddening leash covered with pores and phlegm, spreading your disease to whatever prey you can feast your claws on. You are a waste of fresh air. Mother Earth is better off giving your air to the rats. Even they would not roam where they don't belong. You slut, parading your body as if it's something precious to touch, when in reality it's just another piece of raw, putrid formaldehyde. I dealt with so much when holding you in my arms, so much that you refused to give, so much that you refused to take. You would always pester me with your spider web of hurt. You would never give me a break. When the then horrid day come, I expected it, the way one expects night to follow day. I knew deep inside that you would leave. I knew you wouldn't stay. Then it goes, I am and I'm better off without you. You're a child, undeveloped, immature, naive. You don't know what love is. You fly in a stiffy breeze. Your body floats on the ground, not in the sky. You don't know what love is. All you do is lie. You fraud, you pig, you disease. You held my heart with germ-infested hands. You covered it in infected acid. You left me alone even when I was with you. I said it before, I only stayed with you so I wouldn't be alone. Not for you, but for me. I didn't want my body to become victim to the heartless scum crawling in the grimy dirt people carelessly walk over. That's where I want to place you, where my body used to lie. You should feel the whips and scorns of fleas and rats pinching through your skin, biting your veins, and sucking your blood. You don't deserve the gift of love. You don't deserve to feel another's mouth resting on your neck, you feeling your heart beat through your veins. You don't deserve to be cared for. You're not ready. Your body may be ready, but your mind and soul are living in your youth. You're a fraud. You're a cheat. Your mind is ruthless, and your heart is weak.
Jason.
That poem took a lot. That poem took a lot to write. You have no idea. I was so mad at the guy.
I was going to say there's a little bit of emotion on that.
There's too much emotion. You have no idea.
So, without going into details, so after you wrote, how long did it take you to do that one?
This poem took me maybe about, like, I think I wrote the poem in stages, like, in 2 days worth.
Okay.
Because it just, like, it took, I mean, because sometimes it's hard to let out all your emotions in one day.
Sure.
It seriously drains your emotions. It's very draining on yourself. So that poem, I would say, like, in a time ring, maybe took about 3 hours to really think about all the words and how I wanted to express myself.
Very good. Very good. Usually powerful. Tanya, thanks for making that request tonight. So I want you to hang on the line, Jason. We're going to play a song here in just a second and bring you back.
Please.
For the second part of the show. We're going to start with Joseph Eid's song Human, strangely appropriate for this show on the Monday night, Rated G Radio. We'll be right back after this. Everybody stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Our desires, we will find a way to keep getting higher. We will find a way to live like they say in the books with all the saints. We will do our best to pass every test. We'll deny ourselves of all good. One day our bodies will free, and our hearts will go numb. Don't that sound fun? Flesh and blood, I'm human. And ain't it good to be human? I wanna live like one here on earth, with no heaven, no hell. And when I die, I got enough time to be an angel, to be an angel. When I was young, I heard of Judgment Day, when God will come down and my sins will be weighed. They painted a picture of hate, and I learned how to pray, cause I was afraid to be flesh and blood and human. God, it's good to be human. I wanna live like one here on earth, with no heaven, no hell. Yeah, I got enough time to be an angel. like a monk or a saint. I just wanna run free on my bare feet, lay under the sun and swim in the sea, and take you off to that moonlit tree. We'll bite from that apple 'cause it tastes so
everybody. That was Joseph E., his song Human, which is the lead and single and title track off of his album that he was on the Friday Night Dance Party. If you missed that, you need to go back and check it out, because he was with us for the entire 2 hours doing a behind the scenes as only Rated G Radio can do. So again, Joseph E.'s single Human off of his album Human, and you can go on to iTunes and pick that up at any time you would like. So welcome back to the show is Jason Nino. He is our celebrity guest VIP superstar tonight, and his book is called Journey of a Whispering Heart, Romantic Poetry for Lovers. So, before we get back into the book, we've been talking during the music a little bit, and you have something that you that a lot of the listeners might not know about you, and you wanted to talk about, and I wanted to ask some questions, so I wanted to bring that up.
So, I have multiple sclerosis, which I want to say, thank the Lord, it's never been too severe. It was severe in college, but now I barely use a cane to walk. But so I have multiple sclerosis, and it's just been, it has been a burden to me, because it has been a burden in finding relationships, because a lot of people have just been not wanting to deal with it, not wanting to even just be a part of it. So MS has been somewhat of a burden in my life. And just so I basically say it is what it is, but so the MS has been a part of my life, and it's been a part of with work issues, with relationship issues and whatnot. But so
Jason, can I ask a question here? I don't really know what MS does or what kind of havoc it creates in your life. When did you wake up one day and say, you know what, something's not right?
So basically it started in high school when one morning I woke up and I could only see from one eye. My right eye was blurry, the vision was blurry, and I couldn't see in my right eye. I could only see my left eye. And then that lasted for 2 weeks, and it switched eyes, and my left eye was blurry, and I could only see from my right eye. And that itself is called optic neuritis. That's like a condition of the eyes, and that is like one of the first conditions when someone has multiple sclerosis.
Really?
I'm sorry?
No, so what happened then? What did you have to go, I mean, did you go to the doctor or
I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor. They gave me medication for the condition in my eyes, and that helped fix the problem in my eyes. And the doctor told me, well, it could go away, but most likely it's going to lead to a disease called multiple sclerosis. And it did.
When he told you that, what did you think or what were you feeling at that time?
I was scared then. I remember I left and I cried. I went out. My mom stayed in the room with the doctor, but I remember I walked out of the room. I went out on the porch, like the courtyard porch, and I just cried about it. Because I was just scared. I didn't know how to deal with it. I was just really just, like, scared about what it would be, about how the condition would affect my life.
So how has it affected your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually? What's it done to you?
It's actually made me, to be honest, it's made me stronger. Like, physically, yes, I use a cane to walk on occasion. Like, with long distances, I need a cane. You know, like, for like, let's say I'm walking from, let's say I'm walking 100 feet or whatnot, I really don't need the cane. But if I walk maybe like 1,000 feet or whatnot, then yeah, I'm going to need the cane. You know,
so
and like
what,
really, I don't need the.
What do you need the cane? Is it just because is your body fatigued at that point, or
no, the cane is just for balance? The cane is just for balance because
okay.
I myself don't walk slowly with a cane. I walk fairly quickly with a cane. It's just
mm-hmm.
for balance, you know. It's just giving me like a little support.
Gotcha.
So that's all. Yeah. Like
wow.
So that's how it's affected me physically, emotionally.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like. Well, spiritually, it's made me stronger. Like, my relationship is very close to God. I have a good relationship. Like, so it's made me stronger spiritually. With emotionally, though, it's kind of like, I would say it's affected me emotionally. Like, I really find myself hiding a lot. I hide a lot of my emotions. I don't tell people about, like, when I'm weak, when I'm feeling fatigued or whatnot. It's made me want to hide my emotions because I want to appear very strong. I want to appear that I'm fully under control.
Do you think
so
that impacts how you write your poetry?
In a way, it does. It makes my poetry more emotional. It makes like my poetry more meaningful. I think so.
It's almost, I don't want to say raw, but I mean it's just like because there's just such power behind your words that.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it looks like we've got another call. Are you open to take another caller from
Please,
the
of course,
listenership?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Of course.
So the next caller is coming from the 713 area code. You are live with Jason. Welcome to Rated G Radio.
Hi, my name is Yvonne. And
hi, Yvonne.
You have found out. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. You found out, Derek, what we all know. Jason, you don't have an idle conversation with Jason. He pretty much gets right to the heart of things.
I love it.
yeah. There's nothing superficial there. He just will open up and say, okay, well, let's just talk. I met Jason a few years ago, and the first time I met him, he does have exactly the exuberance that he speaks with, how strong his voice is. It's always like that. It's always like that. If you want to talk to him about something, he gets serious right away. It was like, oh, where did you meet your husband? What made you fall in love? And how many kids do you have? And why did you only have two kids? And, I mean, okay, let's just get serious right away.
Uh-huh.
So, I guess.
Well, speaking of that, Yvonne, how many kids do you have, and how come you decided only to have two? You know.
Well, I do. They're all grown up now. But
oh, good for you. Well, have you bought Jason's book?
I have. I do like the love. I love the lovey-dovey stuff. I can't help it. I like the one where you know people struggle with intimacy. The poems about you know looking in your eyes, and I like them. And of course the way they you know that contrast. I mean, God, the other is about contagion. I'm like, God, Jason, where is this coming from? But yeah, I really just enjoyed it. I enjoy the whole book because you just can't put those feelings in a box, and he's great at expressing. Very complex feelings we have, and especially going through relationships, the ones that do develop.
They're never easy.
So,
Yvonne,
yeah.
You are
yeah.
A-plus tonight. Thank you very much for calling in.
Okay. Good night, Jason.
Good night, Yvonne. Shama. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, Jason, we're going to take another call here. This one's coming from
Please.
The 949 area code. 949,
right.
You're on the air with Jason. Yeah.
Hi, Jason.
Hey.
My name's Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
And what's up?
What's up?
I'm good. I've known Jason for about 16 years now.
Oh, wow.
A long time. And we were in band together. And I remember in high school when Jason would show me his poems. So I kind of had a sneak preview.
So, Bonnie, can you tell us any band secrets about Jason? You know, like, did he show up late for practice or not study his lessons?
All the time.
Okay.
No.
Now we're going to get the real dirt here. Okay, Bonnie, you can tell us.
Yeah. Well, I remember he would always play the sailor's hymn.
Sailor's hornpipe.
Yeah, and he would sneak up behind me, try to scare me during band practice. Yeah, so it was fun. We always had fun together.
Good time. Now, have you got? Because I'm asking everybody that calls in tonight. So, have you bought his book, Journey of a Whispering Heart?
Yes, I have.
Do you have a favorite poem or selection you might like him to read from?
I have one that I like, but it's kind of long. I don't know if he would want to read it.
It could
be
an excerpt.
Okay. It's called Pounding.
Let me find it.
It's on page 97.
Page 97?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, you know that. That's good.
Not, you know.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
596. Here it is. I found it.
Okay, Bonnie, I'm going to put you on hold. So continue listening, and thanks so much for your call tonight. Hang tight. Here's your poem.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Okay,
so
go ahead,
ready?
Jason. You got
sometimes
it. It's all yours.
Sometimes it's easier not to write, for with time I'll forget the truth. But I need to write to extract the pain. Loneliness is a disease that shreds away at your skin, like a blender tearing up an orange. In that very blender, the precious juices of my heart are forcefully pressed, no squeeze, no forcefully and painfully pinched out and extracted from my once loving and peaceful core. It goes, drop by drop, like a dripping faucet into a sink. Empty is my heart. Even my dreams now have become, just like my heart, empty, void, nothing. Then, hold up. So, what does that leave me with? To write? About what? The same old words about how I long for blah, 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 and wish to kiss his blah, blah, blah? Is this the end? I prophesied about this many, multiple times, but I never knew that it would come true. Music. Music is my outlet, my means to an end, my only way of ignoring the truth. But music can elude me. A pounding war drum continually strikes against the barrier of my ear, making me only hear that pound, thump, bass. What have I become? This is who I've wanted to be for so long. My feet now glide with the wind. The wind carries me up, allowing me to dance on the clouds, but with who? Again with this. With who? My shadow? He cannot put his arms around me as we dance alongside the stars. He cannot look in my eyes as I dance with the pupils inside his own. He has no eyes, thus he has no soul. The pathway to the eyes exists through the soul. It's like a mirror that reflects one's core. So what do I have? Yes, my shadow did return, but he is still helpless, as I am, vulnerable to the mystical powers of companionship, feeling the strings of relationships dependent on romance. Although music, I was going to say music makes me forget, but no, music makes me dance, but who could I dance with, my shadow? I won't start. I need him, he who knows my soul, he who has the fingers to delicately pluck the strings of my heart, but I'm scared about what I'm becoming. I could write about it, but I can't stop it, and he, whoever he is not there to stop me. I hear the notes, those melodramatic minor chords, unsyncopated rhythms, hard-thumping bass. That's the new me. It scares me, but I can't stop it. It's growing, millimeter to inch to foot, foot to kilometer. I'm afraid I can't stop. I've already begun. I now know it's true. I will never be able to stop, and soon this will be the end of this disease called loneliness, and soon of my life.
Wow.
I was very depressed during that poem.
Boy, I mean, okay, so can we? I need you to find one here, Jason, that is going to kind of turn the spirits around here a little bit, just a tiny little bit. How about something out of the moans or cheers section?
All right, out of the moans and cheers section, so I'll find you one.
Okay, cool.
Here's moans. Pleasure. This one is I'll find you one.
And as Jason's doing this, everybody who's listening to the show tonight, if you have the computer screen in front of you and if you've not purchased Jason's book, you can simply click the link that talks about the book title, which, of course, is The Journey of a Whispering Heart, Romantic Poetry for Lovers. Click that, and it's going to take you right to Amazon for the page for the book. And you can just click that and buy it on a Kindle version or paperback or however you want to do that tonight and get this book. And you can read everything that you're hearing Jason read to you live here in Technicolor on Rated G Radio. So if you haven't bought it, go buy it tonight. Okay, Jason, you're up.
So this poem is from Moans. It's called Sensual Desire. This is about, remember I was in college at UC Riverside, and there was this TA. He would teach the discussion classes, and he and I would always just kind of, like, flirt with each other subtly, and they just kind of, like, I just, you know, so, well, here it is. You followed me when I left your word behind. You trailed my shadow into the light. I only ask the why. Whatever your reason may be, I'm glad you've come into this world. I'm glad you've come after me. You bring back the memories of a life we almost sought, of the way you would rub your hands across my chest, all this before my heart got caught. I remember it, you putting your body on display, showing me the covers I wish to strip from your skin, making me remember it is still that prize I still wish to win. Then I say, I can consume your body, lay my eyes upon it, looking at the shapes it makes within its confines, slowly unfasten the coverings that protects the gem and place my hands inside, grabbing whatever I can, smelling it to verify it's true. Each jewel has its distinct scent. Each gem smells like you. Each gem smells like you. To have that chance to do all I just said, we could do it all behind the eyes of the world where none could see. No one close to you, not the one close to me. Let's make this happen. Make our fantasies come true. You know where I am. Call my name and let me surrender my body to you.
Okay, so
like
you know somebody
poem,
had the yeah you had the hots.
No, just like I had the hots for somebody like in the line. No one close to you, not the one close to me, because I was actually in a relationship at the time. Yeah, I still had the hots for this guy. Which, it was so bad. It was so like I'm horrible.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness. Well, you know that's just called love sometimes. Okay.
That's
so
love, you know, that's fantasy.
There you go. I'm gonna tell you. You must have like a huge fan base here because everybody's calling in to talk to you, Jason. So we've got another caller out of the 714 area code. 714. You're on the air with Jason Nino.
Hey Jason, it's your cousin Emad. I just wanted say, hey, congratulations. It's always been exciting to listen to your poetry, and I wanted to ask you, now that you have your first book, what is your next goals? Tell us about what you have in plan for the future.
Well, the future is going to have book two soon. I have to compile because book two, instead of having all types of different emotions, book two is going to concentrate on one single emotion. So I have to compile all the poems for book two to concentrate on that one single emotion.
And what's your emotion for that book?
I think the emotion is going to be desire.
Oh, okay.
Like desire, like a longing for love.
Cool.
So hopefully,
that's a great question,
Mark. Yeah.
Thank you.
So hopefully, God willing, that'll come true.
So how far along are you on that one?
That one, I mean, I've compiled about like 10 poems for it. I have 10 poems in mind, and I'm thinking I need to maybe like compile maybe about 20 more to have enough for the book. So I would say I'm about like 40% on the way there.
Nice, good job. Okay.
So
well, any other questions you want to ask your cousin while you got him on the horn here?
No, I'm just very proud, and you beat me to writing a book first, so I'm jealous of you.
Do you have any funny stories to tell of me? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, tell us something really embarrassing about Jason that you can about growing up.
Well,
Jason
and I always used to play as kids, and he had such a creative imagination, and he would always want to role play, and we used to play this game called Captain America. And
Captain Planet.
Captain Planet. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
And Jason's imagination would create these backstories and fictional games, and we would all be characters. And he just really, at a young age, he always made me the villain. So it was I was the bigger cousin, and I would always push him around. But he always had these amazing, intricate stories and plots from as young as we can remember them. And now he's like turned all these emotions and feelings into writing and poetry, and it's amazing to see what he's transformed into.
Well, Maude, I think that's a great story. I think that you're brave in telling something about, you know, having him write stories and having to play parts as you're growing up, because I think that could come back to haunt you a little bit later. But that's a good story. Thanks very much for the call. I appreciate you listening in to Jason's stories tonight. Thank you very much. And I hope you bought your copy. If not, go on to Amazon and get it tonight. Oop, there we go. Sorry, got him cut off just a little bit.
He actually bought it on Kindle, I remember he told me.
Got it on Kindle. Okay, so he's good.
Kindle.
He's good, so we don't have to worry about him. Okay.
Yeah.
So you already shared what you're working on now. Do you do any, like, book signings? Do you go on tour as a published writer now? Okay.
So I've done, let me see, I've actually done... I like on book signings. I've done a couple of book signings. I've gone to some bookstores and I've actually done some book signings, So I've done some book signings. Yeah.
So this has less about your book than it does with the business. Do you have like an agent or a PR person that kind of sets that stuff up for you, or is that
probably
left up to you?
Probably just my mom.
Okay, so
just my mom probably.
Good job, Jason's mom. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then does she have to, like, you know, call bookstores and say, hey, do you stock the book? You know, can Jason come and do a signing? Or how does that work from a independent author?
I would say what my mom does is my mom just makes calls. My mom has some sources who she talks to, friends that she talks to, and the friends know people. So a friend of her friend, rather, she goes through a friend of her friend, and or my book has some acclaim, like, she has, like, people know of my book, like, so my book is kind of, like, in a small circle, so just friends of friends rather know about it, and I've gone
sure.
to some people, so things like that, so I've gone to maybe, like, two or, I've gone to three, I've had three book signings.
Cool.
Which is good, so it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So do you have a website set up, or how do people find you or follow you on all that social media stuff so they can stay abreast of what's happening in your world?
I actually have a website. I have I do have a website. I have my website would be jasonnino.com, JASONNINO, jasonnino, not Nino, yeah, nino.com. So I have that. And then I also have the book. The website is either jasonnino.com or whispersoflove.com. And then you can actually find me anywhere. You can find me on, if you go on Google and type my name, Jason Nino, my book will come up. My name, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm all over. So if you,
if you go on
Facebook and type Jason S. Nino, I will come up. And then... whatnot, and then if you go on, like, if you just go on Facebook, type Jason Nino, my book will come up. So, yeah, so it's all over there, yeah.
Nice job. Before we wrap up the show tonight, we've got a few minutes left. Do you have another poem that you might like to end the night with?
I actually would. This poem is, like, a favorite of many. The poem is called You've Left. And the poem was when my relationship with the guy that went away, when I, like, the very, like, the poem about screams, like, anger, the poem I read to you about, like, conflict. This is the poem about how the relationship finished with a guy. The poem says, I was always wanting to feel your touch, like the way clouds touch the stars, wanting to know your voice, like the rustling wind knows the sound of the trees, wanting to know you, like the way a bird knows the shape of the sky. We talk for hours, and we take those hours and add countless seconds to them. It was a conversation that never wanted to end. You were the smell of maple honey on a chocolate donut, and the sound of a powerful wave striking the rocky coastline. You tasted like a freshly picked strawberry covered in whipped cream, and felt like the smooth cover of a paperback dictionary. I remember the way the sun magically hit your skin. I remember the chestnut wood of your hair. I remember the way your voice caused the stars to rise. I remember how your eyes traveled into my own, searching for a home. On a murky, cloudy day, you always used to make my cheeks rise. You always used to carry my worries on your back. You always used to be the one who caused me to laugh. You always used to. I remember the day you read me the words written on the tombstone of my heart. I remember the day you took off that circular iron mask you had been wearing in vain. I remember the day you showed me a bleak gray world decorated with hypocrisy. I remember the day when I felt your frosty, insecure hands grip tightly upon my own. I remember the day you changed.
And that's the last poem in your book.
That's the last poem in my book, yeah.
Everybody, this has been Jason Nino, and he has generously come onto the show tonight to talk about his book called, of course, Journey of a Whispering Heart, Romantic Poetry for Lovers. You can buy it on Amazon Kindle tonight if you are listening to the show live or on Technicolor, meaning not just dialed into your phone. On the computer screen in front of you, it will say Journey of a Whispering Heart in the show content. And if you click that, it will take you directly to Amazon.com, and you can buy Jason's book tonight. So please do that. And for everybody else, stay in the line. We'll be right back after this recent Rated G Radio guest, Patrick Allen Casey, his song, Home. We'll be right back.
It feels
Like Home. That's Patrick Allen Casey, recent Rated G Radio world premiere of his album. And it is doing really, really well on the Billboard chart. So if you've not heard Patrick Allen Casey before, there's another favorite for you that everybody is raving about. It's time for some celebrity birthdays. We've got a few minutes left, so we'll crank these out and then tell you what's on store for the rest of the week. Today, Mr. Achy, maybe this is what I'm going to do. Okay. I'm not going to tell you, and I'll play this and kind of run over. Mr. Achy Breaky Heart, Billy Ray Cyrus, is 53 today. Producer, singer, actor, philanthropist, and songwriter who was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1992. His first big single was, of course, Achy Breaky Heart. Before he was famous, he began singing when he was 4 and later received a baseball scholarship to Georgetown College before pursuing music as a career. He also played with the band Sly Dog. He wrote the song Pictures Don't Lie for the Red Hot Organization's AIDS Benefit Concert in 1994. And he married Cindy Cyrus in 1987. And after their divorce in 91, he married Tish Cyrus on December 28, 1993. And they announced their impending divorce last year. They've been on and off for a long time. You might know that he has a daughter of considerable note, apparently by the name of Hannah Montana, a.k.a. Miley. So if you get your tongue sticking out, now you know why. Sean Connery's 84 today. Acting icon and producer who won an Academy Award for The Untouchables and was voted the sexiest man of the century by People magazine. His roles in Highlander, The Hunt for Red October, and The Name of the Rose earned him fame in his later years. Before he was famous, he worked as a milkman, a truck driver, and a bodybuilder. The U.S. Navy discharged him due to his being afflicted with a duodenal ulcer, whatever that is. Trivia, let's see. He became synonymous with the debonair's ladies' man after he starred in the original James Bond in 7 of those films. He married actress Diane Salanto in 1962. They had a son together and got divorced in 1973. Doesn't say who he's married to now, but he's been married to his current wife, I believe, for I think he's married. I thought he's been married to his wife for tons of years. He also played Indiana Jones' father in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, of course, directed by Mr. Steven Spielberg, and Sean Connery is 84. Other people having birthdays today, which you won't get into, but we have Alexander Skarsgård, of course, Eric from True Blood. Hope you got to see that last night. We also have Rachel Ray, little EVOO for her, and Mr. Gene Simmons of KISS. Tim Burton is also having birthdays today, so happy birthday to all of them. Okay, so here's the plan for the rest of the week, folks. Tarot Tuesday, we're going to have Tarot Jeff back, and he'll be taking your five-minute call for a three-card draw, so you can ask, what are in the cards for me, or a specific question. Wednesday, we're actually going to take the night off. I'm going to a movie premiere up in Hollywood and will not be here to schedule or hit the button for a best of, so we will kind of be dark on Wednesday night. Again, that's the 27th. Thursday, we'll be doing headlines, and Friday will be a Friday night dance party, so stay tuned for all of that. We're going to end up the show with a little Achy Breaky Heart, and we'll see you live on Tuesday with Tarot Tuesday.
Or you can tell my lips, to tell my fingertips, they won't be reaching out for you no more. Don't tell my heart, my achy breaking heart, I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy breaking heart, he might blow up and kill this man. Just
my mind. It might be walking out on me today. But don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, I just don't think it understands. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he might blow up and kill his man. I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he mightn't blow up and kill this man.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.